Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Arts and Humanities Council of Tulsa will open its new visual arts facility in the Brady District this Sunday. The Hardesty Arts Center will add over 40,000 square feet of exhibit space, classrooms, and studio space for the use of local and regional artists, and could be a major catalyst in boosting our growing visual arts scene in Tulsa. The inaugural exhibit in the center opens Sunday afternoon and will feature several of the ideals of the center. Concept OK will showcase two residency artists, which will be an ongoing project of the center, providing a studio home for artists to create work based on their surroundings. There will also be a survey of work by 30 Oklahoma artists, 14 from Tulsa, and an artistic exchange between Oklahoma artists and a group of Kansas City artists. The exhibit is put together by the Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition, or OVAC, and I'm joined by OVAC's Executive Director, Julia Kurt, as well as the Hardesty Arts Center's Director, Kathy McRuiz, to talk about the exhibit and the philosophy for programming this new arts asset in the Brady District. Kathy and Julia, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Thank you, Rich.
And this has been a very, very busy week for OVAC, putting on the first exhibition, and really for the Arts and Humanities Council and getting the building ready to be open. I was driving by there last weekend, and they were pouring cement for the sidewalks. It's going to be a close deal, isn't it?
It is going to be a close deal. It's been fun since the OVAC artists have been there. One of the challenges, of course, is that we are in construction, continue to be in construction, while the galleries are live. And it's been so much fun to see how the artists respond to that.
I'm really excited about this art center because for the first time, it really offers sort of mid-level Oklahoma artists and really all levels of Oklahoma artists a chance to show in a more of a museum space instead of a commercial gallery center. Now, there are other facilities that have popped up really since this idea first came up. I mean, Living Arts has expanded their space. Tulsa Artists Coalition has always had a small space as well. But this is, you know, those are about brand new art, and I think this facility is going to be really a boon to just any type of artist.
It is a boon to any type of artist. And that's what we're seeing with the OVAC exhibition. There's traditional art in the exhibition, and there are installation and focused artists in the exhibition. And it is exciting to see different artists using different mediums respond to the space, to respond to the activity that's going on. We have had artists just walk into the building going, "I've never seen anything like this."
How important, Julia, is it to the art community here in Oklahoma that they have a space like this where they can show outside of a commercial gallery?
It's huge. Yeah, that's really important. I mean, I think for artists to experiment and be able to make different kinds of work. And then the Hardesty Art Center's, you know, connection to education and how they're going to be focused on reaching the community in different ways and having education puts artists in a different context. So it's not just about, oh, I'm going to go hang my painting on the wall, but how does this relate to the community and the place where I am? So I think that kind of intersection is what really excited us about getting to work with the Hardesty and be the first exhibit was like, this is great. These artists are going to be in the community. And while it's a great boom for the artists, they also are going to be serving the community and allowing people into their creative process too.
And I think that's a really interesting part about the Hardesty Arts Center is you're going to have studio space, but I assume in exchange for an artist having this space to create work, they're going to be doing either classes or doing some sort of interaction with the general public in exchange for that studio
space.
Sure.
There are two levels to that. One is our creative studios where we'll have our quote-unquote resident artists. And for OVAC's exhibition, it's Narciso Arguelles and Sarah Hearn, and they are in the community now interacting with the community and responding to people coming into the gallery space. And they'll continue to do that throughout the exhibition through February. And then we have our, for our local artists, we have six resident studio spaces. And those, we will be seeking candidates to be in those spaces beginning in 2013, for the fall of 2013. And those artists as well will be expected to, it'll be a highly individualized process where we'll look at each artist and that artist will respond to the programs at AHA.
So are they actually teaching classes or maybe participating in classes or maybe master classes or something like that?
They will be teaching classes. They will be teaching workshops. doing panel discussions. However they are needed in the community, it's kind of a growing thing, and we will respond to their needs and they will respond to our needs. So yes, they'll be very much a part of the community, which is very different.
Now, Julia, for say a mid-level artist who's getting a body of work, how important is having like a studio space like that?
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, over and over again, you find when an artist gets a dedicated space that really lets them transform the way they work. And many artists work in their home or in their garage, and that's absolutely fine. But the great thing about being in a shared studio space is that intersection with other peers and like that encouragement to make work and talk about your work. And so I think that these studios are going to be huge. They're going to be really wonderful. And there's really not that kind of shared studio space anywhere in the state. So Tulsa's really going to be the first to do this.
You know, it's funny when an artist starts embarking on a career, if they go to college, they will have that sort of shared studio space, albeit with, you know, really no privacy. But they have that sort of collaborative, oh, I see what you're doing. This gives me an idea to go in my own direction. But once you're out of college, you really lose that camaraderie unless it's going to gallery openings or something like that.
Yeah, it really has to be based around place, like being near each other just helps, because visual artists have a tendency to go and be in the studio and be by themselves making their work. And you almost need to force people to interact. And even if artists want to connect with other artists, they have to do it at spaces. And there's some small pockets of that around the community. When we do our studio tour, we've seen, you know, there's some buildings where artists have rehabbed it and made it into studios. But to have it and have it connected to this kind of public purpose and this educational purpose, I think is what makes it especially strong. Like when we sent out a survey to the artists for Concept OK exhibition for ideas for public programming, and they came up with all kinds of great things. They had tours, they had talks, they wanted to do neighborhood walks. And so that encouraging artists to think how they might allow the public to connect with art differently is what I think is really encouraging.
Anytime you get a survey show of art in Oklahoma or even art in Tulsa, like Living Arts did last year, the amazing variety is out there. And I think it's really not known in the general community. And I think this is one of the things the Heart of the Arts Center can do is say, here's what's happening locally. Because if you go to the big museums, they're doing traveling exhibitions. They're really not geared towards doing local art as much. Commercial galleries are sort of hit and miss. We don't really have a gallery district yet, although the Brady District may end up being that at some point. So getting the word out about the tremendous variety of artists, I think that's an important mission too.
Yeah, and having them presented in a quality space that has a really great public access to it, I think is going to be a bonus. You know, artists will hang their work almost anywhere, it seems like.
But yeah,
to have a great gallery, yeah. Which is a great way to connect with people.
Right,
but to
right.
get to hang in a space that's, you know, designed to be a gallery space that has a lot of public hangout spots. I mean, I think that's one nice thing about this gallery is that it's going to encourage people to stay there. It's not a pristine feeling kind of cold space. It's definitely inviting, and there's a lot of daylight. So I think people are going to want to be there.
Well, I think this is one of the sort of side issues about the Heart of the Arts Center is we're trying to create a more vibrant visual arts scene in the city. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of artists, they look at how tough it's been to make a living in Tulsa where they're, oh, okay, if I go to Kansas City, if I go to Chicago, even if I go to somewhere in Texas or the coast, you know, there's more artists there, but there's also more opportunity.
It's kind of like overnight. There's a lot of opportunity now in the Brady Arts District with all the venues that are going in mm-hmm. there. And one of the things that's happened to me along the way talking with young artists in the community is they're staying. And when you reference back to when you graduate from college, that's the experience that I had. I came to the University of Tulsa to go to the art school here. And when I graduated, it was like, what now? And that was a huge motivator in talking with young people that are staying in the community and are looking at these opportunities. It's like, I'm staying and I'm coming back and interacting with the artists that have stuck around and mentoring with them is what this facility is going to do. It's a lot of what it's about.
Well, let's talk about the inaugural exhibition. OVAC is Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition. My guest is Julia Kurth, who's the director of the OVAC, and Kathy McRuiz, the director of the new Heart of the Arts Center, which will open their building with an exhibition by OVAC called Concept/OK. Mm-hmm. And this is actually almost three exhibitions in one, isn't it?
It is. It is. When we first started mapping out this exhibition, we wanted it to be kind of the blowout survey. And, you know, originally the committee was talking about things like having artists come in on red carpet because we wanted it to feel like it was a big award and reward and encouragement for artists. And also we hope to create an excitement in the public to want to see what's being made and get to know these artists. And you talked about visibility for Oklahoma artists, and I think, you know, there's a lot of depth in Oklahoma in terms of quality of artists and the ideas and the way they're working, and to be able to showcase that in really strong ways. So we hope to kind of combine different layers and different kind of levels of the way that artists are working.
Now, the first part of the exhibition will be your residency artists. Now, these are people who are actually already ensconced in the Hardesty Art Center.
They are.
And so they've been creating work for this show. Is that exactly right?
Yeah, actually, Sarah Hearn is doing a project that kind of connects art and science. She's really interested in lichen and how they're kind of symbiotic organisms. And so she's been gathering lichen, and then she draws them, photographs them, describes them. And so her artistic project is really about classification and looking at these objects, and she's had people mail in samples from around the world. So she's actually going to create kind of a laboratory in the studio, and people can come in and they can be scientists too. She's interested in kind of amateur scientists and how creative they can be, and also just the beauty of these objects. So she already started, she did a nature walk at Oxley Nature Center, which I thought was neat that an artist is leading a nature walk, and they gathered lichen to add to the lab.
Now, she'll be in the center for how long?
February, off and on through February. She's from the Oklahoma City area, so she's coming back and forth.
Yeah, and she'll lead workshops and be in the studio so people can come and, you know, try their hand at describing lichen and drawing lichen.
Now, your other residency artist is Narciso Arguelles. He's from Edmond. Tell us a little bit about his art.
He's really interested in identity, cultural identity, and how we kind of define who people are, and he's connecting that with street art. So some of his artwork will actually be around in the community. And he's been a little mysterious. He's not wanting us to be super specific, but there will be several projects that will be around the community. And then in the studio, he's going to have a large piñata and an interactive mural that people can participate in. He's been trying to connect with the Latino community, Chicano community in Tulsa, and also he's just interested in contemporary art scenes here too. So he's been trying to make inroads with meeting people and getting them interested in what he's up to.
Now, that's sort of an interesting experience because he's about really connecting with the community, but he's not of the community. He's coming into the community. That could be a really interesting.
Yeah, that whole visiting artist thing, and Kathy probably has thought about this a whole lot more, but that how a visiting artist can come in and kind of change perspectives a little bit, perhaps. They have a different lens on the community. They may not approach things in exactly the same way and may see things from a different viewpoint. And I think there's a great advantage in that. And that's also why we work with guest curators, because they bring in those outside eyes to look at the art of Oklahoma in a different way.
Now, that's something I hadn't really thought about. I thought really of the Art Center serving the Tulsa community, but is it really going to be focused as much on the greater Oklahoma?
It is as much. Hardesty, first artist in residence, is Yakum Gulalat, and he is coming from Norman. He's a photographer, and he is also in the community right now. His exhibition will be going up right after OVAX comes down, and he's working right now in the community, taking photographs, and talk about a different perspective. He has, there's the Stovepipe Hill, just north of AHA. He has taken a lot of photographs from the perspective of that hill, looking north. We often think of it as looking south.
Yeah.
His theme is the Tulsa race riots and looking at what is here in the community now and the perspective of coming from outside of the community. So he's going to be really doing some interesting things about observing our community and yet embedding himself in the community. He's a wonderful young artist that people respond to very positively. So he's kind of secretly here taking his photographs and getting to know the community. Met him at a coffee shop the other day, and the barista had a rapport going with him already, and it's really fun to watch.
Now that gets us into you're talking about down the road. What is the exhibition philosophy? Because you have a lot of gallery space. So have you come up with a philosophy for the sort of artists you're going to be looking for? Will it be partnering with organizations like OVAC?
Definitely partnering. I mean, the backbone of the Arts and Humanities Council, as you know, is our partnerships and building on those partnerships. And our reason for building this, one of the main reasons for building this building, is to work with our partners and to work with what the community needs. This is a community building and responding to the community.
And can you give us a sense of the sort of art we'll be seeing over the course of the year? Because you look at the watercolorist here in the town, or the impressionist. You know, there used to be, still probably is, an Oklahoma Impressionist Society. Will you be partnering with them as well, or will it be more towards what's happening now with you know, contemporary art focus?
Oh, all ranges. We're partnering this year with Tulsa Artist Coalition. They'll be doing their member show in the
five
building.
By five, I think, right?
No, it's their membership show the 5x5. Mm-hmm. We may look to that in the future. And then also Fiberworks Oklahoma, which is a more traditional genre that mm-hmm. they work in, and also some little edgy stuff there. Seltzer Schaefer Architects is going to do an exhibition of the design and the planning of the AHA in our space. And then in the fall, spring and fall, we will have artist residencies. And Joachim is, like I said, our first resident. And in the fall, we'll have another resident. So it's not so much philosophy as grounded in who we've been in the past. And that is making this a building for the community. In the spring, we'll have a resident that responds to the community. In the fall, we'll have a resident that responds to the community. They'll sometimes be from within the community, and they'll sometimes be from without. And programs will always be interactive with the local artists, regardless of whether someone is coming from inside.
Now, there's one or two residents, but you'll also have other studio space for local artists as well, and they'll be presenting work,
exactly.
I would assume.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, we're talking about the Hardesty Art Center, which will be opening this Sunday with a new exhibit titled Concept OK. It will be on display through February 16th. Kathy McRuiz is the director of the Hardesty Art Center, and Julia Kurt is the director of the Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition. They're our guests today on Studio Tulsa. Well, we've talked about the residency focus of the first exhibition, but you also have like two other. One is a survey of art in Oklahoma, and the other is a group of what you call focus artists, and it's sort of a conversation between two sets of artists, one from Kansas City and another from all parts here in Oklahoma. Tell us a little about this. This is kind of interesting.
So the survey is how we've done many of our exhibits in the past. So that's like a competitive process where artists submit images and then work is chosen. And so it's just they may have one piece. We have 29 pieces by 30 artists. We thought the focus is a new layer that we're trying, which is to have artists interact regionally and not just hang beside other Oklahoma artists, but how do their ideas and work connect with art being made outside our state? And so that's what that layer of the focus artists is. So we had a curator specifically pick four artists from Oklahoma, and then she went and visited studios in Kansas City with our partner group, Charlotte Street Foundation. And she picked five artists doing four projects there. And so they're hanging together here, and then they'll develop a new exhibition in Kansas City this spring. And so it's a great opportunity for the Oklahoma artists, which is our first priority, of course, is getting them shown next to out-of-staters, getting them shown out of state. But it's also this relationship and trying to start connections. Really, most artists find opportunity in other communities through other artists, and how can they begin those conversations? I think part of what Oklahoma artists need is just a pride and a strength in their own identity and that they are making great work. And by showing them with other communities, we hope to remind them of that and give them a confidence to be able to exhibit regionally as well.
Now, was there a theme overarching with the curator, or did the curator just look at a group of artists and said, oh, I like this piece, I like that piece? And, I mean, will there be an overarching theme to the exhibition?
Well, there's not an exact theme. They do submit proposals, so mm-hmm. she can only work with who's applied, so she can't apply a very tight theme to it. But she did end up feeling like all of these artists are trying to interact with their audience in a different way. So some of them, it's a little bit more traditional, like video work or these constructions that are kind of like painting, but made out of tape. But other artists are trying new things, like a food-based kind of performance installation. Mm-hmm. There's one artist that will be serving food at the Sunday opening. And then there's another group of artists from Kansas City who are actually conducting a game that people can participate in over the weekend. And I think she was trying to look at how are we dealing with information in this current age, and how are we connecting with the place where we are? And so she ended up picking artists that were really examining that. And, you know, none of the work has an Oklahoma theme per se, mm-hmm. but some of the artists, the work does reference specific things in our place. And so that's an interesting thing to look at, too. Like, what are the differences? What are the threads there?
Give us a sense of the survey artists. So you said you have about 30 artists, 29 works of art. I assume it's going to be all sorts of disciplines. Give us a sense of...
It is everything from wood turning to mm-hmm. water media to painting. There's a large-scale installation made by Glenn Herbert Davis from Tulsa. He created this big kind of houseboat construction in the middle of the space. mm-hmm. So it just shows kind of the diversity of skills and interests of Tulsa artists. And the curator said when she looked at those applications, we had 144 artists submit, that she really just tried to approach each piece and try to understand what the artist was doing with that, and then select the work that she thought was most successful, which you know, that ends up sometimes being about the technique and the process, and sometimes it's about the idea or content. So you'll see just a wide diversity of work in that show.
Visually, when you walk through that gallery, what does it say about the diversity of art in Oklahoma, you think?
I hope that people will try to have an open mind to looking at what the artists are attempting, because at the very least, you know, these artists have poured their heart and their time into these pieces. And so I hope the viewers will take a little time to experience the work and not just blaze through and wonder what appeals to their eye. Like, a lot of times when I see an artwork that I don't like immediately just think, why did they make that? Instead of dismissing it, I'm trying to, you know, train myself to say, well, why did they make that? And what does that say about now? Or what does that say about this space? Or what are they trying to attempt here? And I hope that, you know, this Hardesty Art Center is really about conversations, dialogue, and education, that the exhibits will be the same, that people will try to really, you know, wonder about the artists and what they were doing.
I was struck by something you said a moment ago about the exchange between the Kansas City and Oklahoma artists. It's, you know, you talk about Oklahoma artists having pride in their work and their craft. And I'm wondering if there's also sort of a corollary about audiences, you know, appreciating what's happening in their backyard. And I assume that's another part of the mission of the building.
It is part of the mission of the building. And that's the beauty of the partnership with OVAC, is that I personally have learned through working with OVAC all these years the depth and breadth of the quality of the artists that we have in Oklahoma, and watching them install their pieces and responding to the building and responding to each other has been a very rich experience that I think is going to come across when you talk about a learning experience for viewers. These are very user-friendly pieces. They're not, some of them are not necessarily traditional arts, but they're very, there's an entry point there.
Approachable.
Yeah, very approachable.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, as people try to see this work, you know, just the amazing creative spirit in our state. I mean, I don't mean to be overly hokey here, but it's like, these people are out spending their time. Almost all of them have day jobs, and they're doing this at nights and weekends because of their passion for making the work and either expressing an idea or working with this medium. And I think that that kind of force in our community is really strong, and that, you know, to get to experience that. For me, as a job, daily I get to see artists and how they do this. But hopefully these exhibits give some little bit of that kind of energy.
You bring up a very interesting point, and this really goes beyond the visual arts to just about every art form in our state. Nearly, I would say, 98% of the art in Oklahoma is created by people doing second jobs. Mm-hmm. And that means whether it's a musician who teaches lessons all day and then performs in the evening, or, you know, I mean, there are very few artists sitting in the gallery all day, all, you know, painting and then, you know, hitting the clubs in the evening like you expect to see in New York or L.A. These are people who really have a passion for their work, and they're balancing a lot of different work-life situations into their art.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I find interesting, too, that's distinctive, I feel like, in our community is that people have chosen to be in Oklahoma not necessarily for the art scene. I mean, I feel like the art scene has grown and there's lots of opportunity, and many people do find great things to do here in arts, but that wasn't the first reason probably they chose to live here. And so artists are coming from different motivation, but they still have this commitment and passion and dedication of their work. And, you know, we hope that we just make it easier for them to juggle some of that. Certainly artists across the country deal with this, but, you know, if we through, you know, OVAC giving them a little cash award to help with the work, or through giving them a curator who's going to validate their ideas and the way that they're working, if that can encourage them to keep going, that really means a lot to our community, I think.
Well, the Hardesty Art Center opens this Sunday with a new exhibit by OVAC, the Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition, called Concept OK. I assume as you know, one of the leaders of OVAC, you're really excited about having this asset in Tulsa.
We're thrilled. I mean, we planned this exhibit with the Hardesty Art Center because we wanted it to complement their programming so it can be a long-term partnership. And it only is going to happen in Tulsa. It's a debuting here, and it'll continue here. We hope to be able to offer some form of this every couple of years and have it be really meaningful to the artists and the community, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, we wish you great success with the opening this weekend.
Thank you.
And what are the gallery hours once you get going?
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 1 to 6. Mm-hmm. Thursdays, 1 to 9. First Fridays, 1 to 9. Mm-hmm. Weekends, Saturdays will be 1 to 6 as well, and Sunday, 1 to 5.
So basically afternoons is the best time to reach.
Yeah, basically afternoons and a little bit into the evenings there.
Well, all right. Well, Kathy and Julia, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks a lot. Rich.
Thank you, sir.
Kathy McRuiz is the new director of the Hardesty Arts Center, located in the Brady District at 101 East Archer Street. And Julia Kurt is the executive director of the Oklahoma Visual Arts Coalition, which has curated the first exhibit in the new building, Concept OK, Art in Oklahoma. It opens Sunday and will continue on display through February 16th at the new Hardesty Arts Center in the Brady District. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Connie Cronley.
The great acting coach Stella Adler said, "Life beats down and crushes the soul. It is art that reminds you you have a soul." I thought of that after seeing the Made in Oklahoma movie, The Cherokee Word for Water. This is the story of Wilma Mankiller, who was the late principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, and Charlie Soap, the man who would become her husband. They organized and inspired a small, poor Indian community to volunteer to dig and install 18 miles of waterline to bring running water to the town of Bell. Of course, they didn't do it alone. The Cherokee Nation and other supporters were behind them, but these two people were the activists. This is not only a feel-good movie, it's a film of triumph. It's Rocky, set in eastern Oklahoma. Sometimes it made me laugh and sometimes weepy. It was so personal to me, the landscape, the Cherokee Nation, the people coming together as a community. I watched this film and thought, I forgot how much I love turquoise jewelry. Face it, I told myself, you are never going to dig a water line in the rocky soil of eastern Oklahoma or anywhere else. You are part magpie and attracted to shiny objects. Recently, I was assigned to man a booth at the Episcopal Diocesan Convention to hand out literature about a soup kitchen. I showed up on time, a soldier about to do her duty, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but an Indian jewelry booth right next door. Forget the soup kitchen booth. Hello, turquoise jewelry. They didn't take credit cards or checks, so I said, I've got to find an ATM booth. And Mr. Whitebird, who was the artisan, said, ask the bishop. He knows where it is because he's been here already buying moccasins. It was Mr. Whitebird who told me something I didn't know about turquoise, that it's a mineral related to copper. The bluer it is, the more copper. The greener, the more iron. I once bought a cheap turquoise ring so blue I suspect it was really melted Clorox bottles. But a little research told me that the gem got the name turquoise in the 16th century because it was introduced to Europe from Turkey. In ancient Persia, palaces were domed with turquoise because blue symbolized heaven on earth. Now here's some other interesting trivia. Ancient people wore turquoise as a talisman against death or evil. It is often thought to bring good luck or good fortune, wisdom, happiness, and connection to the spirit world. Turquoise is the birthstone of those born in December. Ancient Egyptians mined turquoise in the Sinai Peninsula, so it's no wonder turquoise was found in the dry geography of the southwest United States, especially Arizona and New Mexico. In Albuquerque, there's a turquoise museum. According to one Native American legend, when the rains came, the ancient peoples danced and wept for joy. Their teardrops mingled with the raindrops and seeped into Mother Earth, where they became turquoise, or the sky stone. Ah, turquoise, the gem worn by Aztec kings and Jewish high priests and me. The Cherokee word for thanks is wado. I say wado for the wonderful little film, The Cherokee Word for Water. Wado for leaders who can bring people together as a community. And wado for turquoise!
Commentator Connie Cronley is a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.